House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Wednesday, May 27th. We're going to jump out of order a little bit. The first item on the agenda today is Senate Bill 309A. Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a committee, Senate Bill 309A comes at the request of Senate and Judiciary Committee. You have the A6 amendments in front of you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and they do primarily two things. The first part of this bill related to hearsay as it relates to interpreters and whether the person making the statement to the interpreter, whether the interpreter could testify in court. That part has been removed from the bill with the assent and consent of all parties involved, which basically now leaves a custodial interview conducted by a peace officer in a law enforcement facility as that part of the bill. The amendment that you have in front of you is basically the same as the discussion we had last week, except going over to page 7. This bill will now apply, as it relates to this part, to interviews conducted after the
July 1st, 2010,
rather than January 1st, 2010. And I believe that was a suggestion made by some people, so it would give law enforcement a longer period to prepare for it, so basically a little over a year. And then the other part, on page 7, lines 27 and 30, going over to the next page, the prior bill talked about when this applied on July 10, 2010. It would apply to subsequent changes with aggravated murder, murder, aggravated vehicle, homicide. Those terms were substituted for the term homicide because it's more specific. And that's basically the amendment, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. If need be, I can go through the bill in more detail. Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could add, I have not the revenue nor fiscal impact as it relates to the A6 amendments because it was just received.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move the Dash 6 is in a Senate Bill 309.
Representative Wisnant moves the Dash 6 amendments into Senate Bill 309. Is there any discussion? Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Counsel, could you please tell me that portion about the interpreter again?
Chair, members of the committee, the original bill, the bill that came over from the Senate, there were two bills merged. And let me give you a factual situation. Let's say that the defendant makes a statement to an interpreter. The interpreter then interprets it to the police officer. You go to court and the interpreter is not present. The issue is whether the police officer can testify as to what the interpreter said. That's hearsay upon hearsay. That bill would have allowed it. The original amendment part of the bill would have allowed that statement in. It caused concerns beyond this bill as the way it was drafted, because it was creating an exception to the hearsay rule, which had broader implications. And from what I understand, the law enforcement community, particularly Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, John Bradley, raised some concerns about that issue. And it was decided at this late date that clarification could wait for another date.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any objection to the A6s?
Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to move it.
No, you have to close the.
Did we adopt the amendment, right?
Oh, we adopted the amendment. We just did.
And we're going to roll over tomorrow.
And we'll carry this bill over till tomorrow. Close the work session on Senate Bill 309. Thank you. Open a work session on Senate Bill 241A.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 241A, you heard on May 22nd. It clarifies the process by which purchasers may take possession of property after foreclosures and similar events. You heard testimony from the sponsors, the debtor-creditor section of the Oregon State Bar. We were holding adoption pending passage of a bill that will conflict with Section 1 of this bill, and so the solution proposed by the sponsors is to take out any conflicting references. So the A5 amendments that you have do take out any reference that would conflict with the other bill.
Where are these?
You should have A5s and a hand-engrossed version showing you those changes. And there is no revenue and no fiscal impact on the A5s.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move the dash fives in the Senate Bill 241.
Representative Wisnant moves the dash fives in the Senate Bill 241. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 241 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 241 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And we'd like to carry that bill. One of the lawyers, I would assume. Representative Barton, thank you.
You don't have to have it called by name.
I think so. Anyway.
We're good to go. I know.
Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 570A.
Senate Bill 570A was first heard on May 13th and again on May 22nd when the committee adopted the Dash 6 and Dash 7 amendments. This is the scrap metal bill. It has no revenue impact, minimal expenditure impact on both the Dash A7s and A6s, and is ready to be worked.
Okay, we need to introduce the... We all need to, so we just need to work it.
Okay. Sixes are in.
We did.
Six and seven.
So that's right. I'm going to vote for it.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 570 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 570 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate all the work and time that went into this bill. We passed the bill last session and tried to make this bill to go the next step. I'm disappointed in that I think the businesses that testified and really have gone out of their way to try to support our objective here in metal theft. Seems like they assumed a lot more burden than the criminal in this bill. I'll be voting for the bill. Hope that we can maybe continue to look at it and see if we can make it a better bill. I think the people of Oregon are looking for this to stop the meth use, but I do feel that the industry has really stepped up. The ones that testified and were in the work group and when they testified in front of this committee, gone beyond the call of duty as far as some of the procedures they put in. And I know that there was a lot of discussion and work, and I appreciate that. I was not part of that. So I appreciate all the work that's done in it. I'll be voting yes, but I'm a little disappointed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Wisnant. Any further discussion? Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To counsel, there's minimal fiscal impact, is that right?
That's correct.
And can you help me understand, we are creating a new crime here, is that right?
We are creating some new crimes. I believe they're basically misdemeanors is what we're talking about and certain fine structures. Also, in the last session, some of these similar crimes were put in place. Some of these burdens about the metal theft reporting have been in place, so I think it's going to balance out. But essentially, because they're misdemeanors. I would expect, yeah.
So likely presumptive probation. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I'm fine.
Representative Shields, okay. Representative Barton.
Mr. Chair, I suppose a nice follow-up to both the Representative Wisnant and Shields' point. This bill was crafted very carefully to try and minimize the fiscal impact. We are very cognizant of the fiscal situation we are in. And indeed, some of Representative Wisnant's concerns are fair. And frankly, but for the fiscal situation and our true this extraordinary fidelity to trying to minimize the fiscal impact, I think that sort of accentuated some of those concerns, which are unfortunate, but I suppose inevitable, and I believe this is the best we could do under the circumstances in this fiscal environment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson,
thank
please.
You. Just follow up with what Representative Shields was asking about the
crimes created. It creates three new crimes. They're all Class A misdemeanors, is what was mentioned. And getting to the issue, too, with what the Vice Chair Wisnant was referring to, having spent about a year and a half, 2 years with the coalition working on this, there was a lot of discussion about sanctions, and it was dealing with the suspects. Again, with what Representative Barton said, given the economic situation we find ourselves in right now, a couple of those didn't go that direction. However, we do have the aggravated portion for enhancement for sentencing. That was one piece that we did work with.
Okay, thank you very much. Why don't you go ahead and call the roll on this one, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Jarrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. And Representative Olson, do us the honor, and with Representative Barton here, co-carry that bill. Thank you very much. Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 310A.
Senate Bill 310A, first heard on May 19th, requires a law enforcement agency in an aggravated murder, manslaughter, one and two, criminally negligent homicide, aggravated vehicular homicide, and sex crimes to preserve the biological evidence in an amount sufficient to develop a DNA profile. It does not require that the physical evidence be preserved if the evidence is of such a size to make retention impracticable, effective upon passage and at sunsets on 2012. There is no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, and no additional amendments.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Meyer, you wanted to put something on the record?
I'm going to vote against it. She talks.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. Andrea Meyer, legislative director of the ACLU of Oregon. As you may recall, when we heard this bill a few days ago or last week, the chiefs of police and other organizations raised some concerns. We did meet with Mr. Campbell and had a productive meeting and talked about some of the issues, and I think it's fair to say the chiefs and others have agreed to move this bill forward as it currently is. I think everyone, and I'm pleased to say, is eager and excited and moving forward to a work group during the interim to flesh out the law. But we would urge this committee, I think without any objection from behind me, to move the bill as it is, and let's take the next step on this long process.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Sorry. My professionalism here. Chair Barker, Mr. Campbell asked for me to at least get on the record that regarding the concerns, the chiefs have some concerns about the bulk issue and the ability, if something's very bulky, to reduce it down into a quantity if it has biological evidence. And again, because this is a moratorium, these are probably cases where the evidence has been held for years now. But certainly we would recommend and surely support those custodians' ability to talk to forensic scientists, even the Oregon State Police, for any guidance that they might need if indeed something is too bulky and it needs to be reduced in quantity. So does that, and we're happy with that and think those kind of expertise needs to be involved.
Okay. Representative Stiegler.
When we had the initial hearing on this, there's also some concern expressed about the broad scope of this proposal, particularly that it applied to what essentially is a long list of sex offenses, and there was some discussion about relegating it only to felony. So can you address why nothing was done in that regard?
Chair Barker, Representative Stiegler, and members of the committee, this law and the list that is on the back of what sex crimes is directly tied to the innocence law. And these are all sex offender reporting crimes. 90% of them are probably, if not 95% of those crimes, are actually already felonies. That leaves us with a very small percentage on that list that are misdemeanors, that are sex offender reporting eligible. Of that, there's probably even very few that would have biological evidence as a basis to the case. So that leaves a very small possibility of even any misdemeanors being covered. But it was important for us, because the statute is being tied with the innocence, that if there's going to be a bigger discussion about what statute should be covered, for at least now, we should keep it tied to the innocence law, which is the law that someone can invoke to seek retesting of biological evidence. But if we haven't retained it, it's not to be tested. So I think it was agreed that while they have some concern the reality of what of evidence in those kind of cases would be so little that for the duration of the moratorium, this would not be a problem.
Chair Barker, Representative Stigler, that's correct. I mean, as we looked at this, we're counting on the ability to really sit down during the interim and to hash out the details of a law for the next session so that we can really get the chance to put expertise in the room so that all parties are represented. The truth is, if the bill was passed...
Your name.
Oh, Kevin Campbell. I'm sorry, the Executive Director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. But so we believe as we go to the work group, we're going to be able to throw out a lot on the table and we'll negotiate out something that works for this two-year period. I believe that the impact, based on the folks we've talked to in our evidence areas, don't believe this misdemeanor piece is going to add anything in terms of their necessity to retain. There's just not many cases there. Would we agree to that forever at this point? I'm not committing to that, and that's why I think the work group needs to be able to entertain, basically from the ground floor, the options available to us.
Follow up on that.
Follow up.
Then I'm, again, this is, I guess, for the both of you, then I'm assuming that there's sort of a consistency in understanding that the agreement at this part doesn't mean that that's not a topic for further conversation. I mean, I'm assuming that's
right.
Understood.
Right. Chair Barker, Representative Stigler, right, there's been no suggestion that there's an agreement of any kind other than the Senator Brzozinski's commitment to having the parties finally meet and have the conversation about what the practices and policies are. I would, for the record, make it clear that one of our reasons for invoking ORS 181594 is that the policy decision by the legislature for the innocence law is that, and it's an important piece for us to... So there's a policy issue, and then we're happy to discuss it with a large group, but I do want to understand why we list that statute, and it's not just picked out of the sky.
Understood.
We'll carry this bill over till tomorrow and close the work session on Senate Bill 310A and open a work session on 603A, and we're going to carry that one over to tomorrow as well. Close. Yes. Okay, and close the work session on 603A. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Committee adjourned.
Stand of the line.